In the first part of the show today, we will be talking a bit about property tax here in Champaign County and ask some pretty basic questions and allow people who are listening to ask questions, too. Questions about how is it that property tax is calculated? And if you have some question about your property tax, if you think that somehow it's not correct, that we want to make sure that you know, and our guest here this morning wants to make sure that you know, that there is a process for appealing that. You can ask questions. You can say, why is this like this? And if you think that it's not correct, you can say, I don't think this is correct. And there is an opportunity for you to be an active participant in this process. Our guest for the program is Kirk Diedrich. He is the Chief County Assessment Officer for Champaign County. And questions are welcome. I know he will do his best. There may be some things that we can't do over the telephone, but I know that he will take his best shot at the questions and then tell you how you can get information and where to proceed from there if we can't deal with it here on the air this morning. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. I'm not sure if anybody in Champaign County would have to use that one, but whichever, 333-9455 and 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, David. I'm glad to be here.
We were just starting. We were talking a little bit beforehand, and you just asked me this question. Well, do you know why it is that the tax bills are 1 year behind? And I said, well, no, I guess I never really thought very much about that. And in fact, you say people ask that kind of question all the time. Well, why are you 1 year behind? And the answer is to give people an opportunity to raise questions about it.
Yeah, because when we head out to the field, our assessors head out to the field, we gather up about 18 bits of information and perform what's called a mass appraisal of the jurisdiction. That's quite a bit different from an appraisal that someone you hire to do. They're going to pull in 30, 40 particular items about your parcel, about your property, and then you're going to pay a pretty sizable fee for that, say $250, $300 for an appraisal, and your assessment people probably get this done in our county on an average much less than three, maybe even $2 a parcel, much less than that in the cities. And so we gather up these 15 to 18 attributes, give it our best shot on a computerized mass appraisal.
And some of these things clearly are things that you could determine by walking around the outside of the house, although some of these things I would think that you couldn't really know unless you could go inside the house.
Well, actually, we don't go inside. We do attempt to communicate with the person who owns the property to make sure that the attributes we have are correct. I've been a township assessor since January 1 of 1990. That's when I started in the field. And then I moved into this office in May of 2004, last year. In the smaller jurisdictions, you know your folks, but in larger jurisdictions, you don't. But many times in a larger jurisdiction, there'll be a permitting process where all these attributes are laid out in a permit. So that's how your assessor will get them. Smaller jurisdiction, you measure the dimensions of the parcel. And this is where I want to mention that our state of Illinois manual values everything on the footprint. So we measure the outer perimeter of the property and then look up. So mm-hmm. If it's a one-story, we say, okay, this is one-story wood frame. We go to our book. Now, if it's a two-story, then we go to the two-story column. If it has part of it in one story and part two-story, we have to combine those square footages and make an adjustment for that. And once a homeowner gets on to the process, and I've just made available, I think, to you, I've got here a copy of this information about how the property record card is calculated. I'll post that to my website. I just completed that here this summer. But people need to have a copy of their card. They need to be able to have an understandable way to figure out exactly how we arrived at what we got.
Yeah. And it looks like the things that you're looking at here are really basic. How big is your house? How many stories? Things like, does it have a basement? Does it have a garage? How many bathrooms does it have? Does
yes.
it have central air? Is the attic finished? Is there a fireplace? Is the basement finished? And generally, some things about, well, what kind of condition is the house in? And it looks like it's all pretty basic and fairly straightforward. I don't know in how many of these cases, except perhaps when you come to the area of condition, that there's much subjectivity here at all. It's pretty much, how big is it? Is it one story, two stories? How many bathrooms? Does it have air conditioning? That seems to me a lot of things are sort of a yes or no sort of a thing.
Yeah, they are. And with experience, the assessor gets a pretty good feeling for some of those condition things that you talked about. However, this manual, which is provided by the state of Illinois, was last updated in the year 2002. They're pretty well understaffed over there, as most of the state government is, so we're relying on adjustment factors to that 2002 cost manual. We do like in-county comparisons of new construction to what our book says to come up with a factor. So your assessor will gather this information that you just talked about, and then they'll also perhaps apply a neighborhood factor based on sales that have occurred, because your assessor's work is graded in Springfield. You're to have everyone assessed at one-third of market. So if a house sells for $280,000 and the assessor only had it on for $250,000, that is tracked all the way to Springfield and comes back and affects our three-year sales study. And the reason your values are affected two times a year in our county, some counties use more than that. They'll use three times it could be affected, and they'll only publish it once. But we use two columns in our county. We use the Board of Review column for adjustments and the Township Assessor column. We don't use a Supervisor of Assessment column in this county. And one thing I do want to mention, you've got a pretty wide listening area. Mm-hmm. Champaign County is one of the few counties in the state, I'm guessing less than five or six, that are actually on the cycle. So some of the surrounding counties may be using a slightly different cycle, and they don't get their assessor work turned in on April 15. Maybe it's delayed, which kind of delays the billing and forces some counties to go to accelerated billing, which is a guess of what it's going to be, and then finally they rectify it later after the assessor turns in the work. I'm really blessed to have come into a county here that's one of the leaders in the state. And our assessors are active. We do a lot of changes, and that's a good thing because market value is a living, breathing thing. It changes all the time.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I did wonder about, because certainly the value of your home, if you're going to sell it, is determined in part by the values of the homes that surround you. And if the sales people keep turning the houses over, the sales prices keep going up, the value goes up. Well, no matter, that affects the value of your house, even if you have done nothing to your own property. And if your neighbors decide they're going to do all kinds of improvements, that will increase the value of their homes. But that in turn, and correct me if
only
I'm wrong,
if theirs would sell.
That's true. But that also increases the assessed valuation if they do improvements. But now, so then there's the question, then though, does that affect the assessed valuation of your home if your neighbor makes an improvement in his home?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And that would affect it if it did sell. Say someone fixed their property up and it sold, and the assessor wasn't aware of that condition change that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Say that the changes that occurred on the property moved it from a good to an excellent in condition, which would adjust our appraisal software that we use. Well, if the assessor happened to miss that kind of an increase in the value and that property sold and they didn't have it up there, it goes into the mix of a large, large group of sales, particularly in Champaign-Urbana, hundreds of sales. Smaller jurisdictions, one outlying sale can really have a negative impact or a positive impact. The cities, it all mixes together.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have several callers here, and we'll get right to them. And I should introduce again our guest, Kurt Diedrich. He's the Chief County Assessment Officer for Champaign County. We're talking about property tax in Champaign County. What's the mechanism for calculating it? And then what do you do if you have some question? You want to raise a question about what the value that the county assessors have put on that property. Maybe you don't agree. Well, there's a way for you to raise questions about it. Let's go here to the phones and have somebody first on a cell phone calling from near Mahomet, line number two. Hello.
Hi. I have three questions, one of which you probably can't answer, but here's the first two. A lot of the houses that I've been in have, as a lower level, or what would be called the basement, a height of 7.5 feet. And the urban legend is that the reason that those are 7.5 feet rather than 8 feet is that if they had added one layer of cinder block in the lower level to raise it to 8 feet, which is a normal height, then the assessment would have been different, and that's why you always have a lower level, which isn't quite as high as the rest of the house. That's question number one. Question number two is, if you have a house, if you are living in an area where all the houses have a common assessment, and one person in that has a house in that area that's really been allowed to run down so that its assessed value is lower, does a person have any legal recourse to require that the house be brought up to a standard to because you're really damaging the not just the assessed value but the saleability of your house? And the last question, which is the one that confuses everyone I've ever spoken to, is if you live in a house like a raised ranch where the bottom level, be it 7.5 or 8 feet high, you can walk out onto a patio, when can you call that a basement in description, and when can you call it a lower level? Because that has a lot of effect also when you sell a house, and, of course, it would affect the assessment. So I'll hang up and listen to your answers. Thank you.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, two of those are sort of linked, I guess, because it has to do with basements. And what is a basement? And I think it, as far as the ceiling height goes, it doesn't really enter into it.
No, okay. It doesn't. I don't know. That's one of those stories, I guess, that moves around. As far as going back to the third question that ties into that, the raised ranch with a basement that opens up, it's still a basement, typically from the front of the property. So you would consider it a ranch with what we would call a finished basement. And our manual figures a finished basement as either recreation area or living area. Now, we could have township assessors, and by the way, it's the 19 township assessors who place the value on, and then I take a look at their work and try to instill some uniformity throughout the county. I hold an annual meeting. Each supervisor of assessment or chief county assessment officer, as we're also known as, holds a meeting typically in the fall to give guidance to the assessors in hopes that there's uniformity throughout the county. So this might be a topic of our discussion if that was to come up, this type of opening up and whether or not the book has our value high enough for living area.
Okay. So anything, I guess, for purposes, assessment, anything that's below the ground level, is a basement?
Yes. That's the foundation of the property.
Okay.
It's for instance, a house in our manual is either a wood frame construction or a masonry. And so that would be the main above grade. Now, the only thing that will enter into that is what we call a split level, tri-level, bi-level, where it's partially submerged. Then our book has a category for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other question, I don't know if that's necessarily an assessment issue or what that is, but the sort of the hypothetical the caller says is, okay, you have an area where everybody else is trying to do a good job maintaining their property, and they've got one property owner, and the property is really run down, and that detracts from the value of everybody else's property. What sort of recourse do the neighbors have to try to put pressure on the owner of that property to upgrade it?
Well, I don't believe that there's anything that relates to an assessment issue that could tie into that.
So it seems like that's more of a zoning kind of an issue or a code. Whoever maintains the building codes or something like that. It's the short answer is that's somebody else's office. That's really not an assessor's office.
Yeah, our job is to adequately assess those properties at one-third of market value as of January 1 of each year. So the assessor hopefully has taken a look at that area, and if there's a spillover effect from a detrimental property, such that it's perhaps really bad, really, you know, rat infested or something like that, that could detract from the other properties, they may take that into consideration. It sounds like it probably doesn't happen very often, is my guess as a member of the assessment community.
All right. Well, let's go to another caller. And the next is, I believe, on line number 3, someone calling from the campus. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. From the description that you gave about the way value is assessed, it seems that it's fairly mathematical and straightforward. On the other hand, a recent article in a national newspaper said that something like 70% of the people who ask for reevaluation succeed in lowering their value. So Is there a problem between those two, or is it really that mathematical?
Well, there are several areas there that your assessor has to make a judgment call on. The original grade of construction. So if you were to come in and look at your property record card, one of your first questions may be, well, is my square footage right? And is it one story, two story? Is there a combination appropriate? But the one of the most important factors is the original grade of construction. And the older the property, you have a little more difficulty trying to discern what that original grade was. Typically, a C-grade home would be a factor applied to our manual of 1.0, you know, where a B grade would be 122% of the manual. An A grade can escalate way up there, or a double A. So, and what that means is, for instance, if you have a cedar shake roof and you're, you know, 100% masonry and 100% masonry fireplace, and you have other factors that enter into the judgment of the assessor, that this was an above average original construction grade, that's a factor that's subjective, you know, that the assessor can pick up. And then what we call the CDU, which is another important thing you need to check on your card. What is your CDU? Is it good, average, poor, excellent, undesirable? And what that does is affects the depreciation, because we're using a straight cost manual. And in the cities of Champaign and Urbana, they have enough sales that their depreciation manuals are adjusted by continual comparisons of sales that occur to the book value. In the rural areas, we aren't quite able to do that, so we have to use a little more subjectiveness when we decide how much remaining economic life does your property have. So those are some things that you have to be aware of on your card: your original grade, your CDU, and what's the remaining economic life.
So in that case, the number published in the newspaper, 70%, can obviously vary quite a bit depending on the community you're in. Can you give us an estimate of what percentage of reviews result in lowering of the property assessment value in Champaign-Urbana?
Well, sometimes if a value is lowered, it's because there's been a factual error, and that's one point and reason why I'm out here to talk about your property record card. We do hundreds and hundreds of parcels, and we don't know that we have it all correct. We hope that we do, but we're not perfect. And so you can come in and take a look at your card. You can do that anytime. In fact, your township assessor controls the value of your property from January 1st until April 15th. And I would suggest that folks contact the assessor's office at that time to correct any discrepancies that are on their card during that window. Make sure it's correct. But if you miss that window, your next time to be involved in the valuation process is this July 1st to September 10th. So we do have some reductions in value. I can't give you the breakdown on whether or not those are factual errors where the data was gathered and logged in incorrectly. I do know we have about 1,000 complaints each year. It's been running somewhere in that vicinity for quite a while. But I don't have a breakdown on whether they go up or down.
If I may ask another question, just a short one. What do you do if somebody comes in and says, I need my property value reevaluated, and it comes out to be higher than what you have done in the beginning? How likely is it that somebody ends up a loser in this process?
That's not very likely at all. Our Board of Review strives very diligently just to take a look at the market value, and only in rare instances where they maybe find a building that's been omitted for, say, 2 or 3 years. In all fairness to the other members of the community, the record card should reflect the accurate indication of the buildings that are on the parcel, but it's very, very rare that a Board of Review is going to elevate someone, even though there's times they do find that that's the case.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's continue. And our next caller is going to be here in Urbana, I believe, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed that you were unable to give a percentage of successes on those challenges. I mean, other assessors are able to do that. For example, in Houston, about half the challenges historically succeed in some sort of rollback, according to the Wall Street Journal, and for a low number, New York, the success rate is only about 11%, and yet here we have a small, mostly rural area, and you can't tell us. I mean, that's. I'm beginning to think that the financial people in this area are really, really are way out of line. You talked about square footage, and you said that, and that's one of my questions I had, was talking to realtors. Apparently there's some variation in how square footage is actually measured. Could you explain how that is done? And I've got some more questions.
Sure. As far as your first question about that statistic, that's a point well taken. That's probably a statistic we should keep. Just so folks know, but we don't want to discourage or encourage or you know, force people to start thinking, well, so-and-so was successful, I'm just going to rush right in there. I mean, we all have statutory duties that we have to perform. Your township assessors discover and value, the board of review is to hear complaints. That's one reason I'm on the radio, is to get this out there, that we need help to make sure we got the accurate information, and we want to let you know that you can appeal your assessment. But the forgotten appeal are the levies, the right-hand side of your tax bill, those individuals calling for the money. They hold hearings every fall. And honestly, those of us in the assessment community are tired of taking the blame for all the property taxes when we only set the assessment side. Take a look at the right-hand side of your bill. Go express some of your frustrations to those folks if you're tired with high taxes. And I know that wasn't your question, but it was this nice segue for me to talk about that. But your other question, I think, was about the square footage calculation. And as I maybe didn't explain it real thoroughly initially, it does take a little bit to grasp. We have to measure the ground, the outside. We don't measure inside the room dimensions at all. We're just on the outside of the property, and then we look up, and we have to guess. Sometimes we have to guess. Okay, it looks like that roof line of the one story comes here, and the story and a half line begins there, and they finish out with part of it being two-story over here. We don't have blueprints. This is our estimate of value based on what we can ascertain from the site visit.
Yeah, but you're talking about measuring, say, enclosed porches, that kind of thing, too. Would they also count, or are they a
yes.
different amount, number, or what?
Yeah, there's a different area in our calculation manual for enclosed porches, and that's even broken down by wood frame construction versus masonry construction.
And also attached garages, are they also part of the, I mean, do they get some sort of break because they're not living area or what?
Yes, I mean, there's an area for attached garage, there's an area for detached, and again, it's wood frame or masonry, either way. And
so,
we also have what's called an integral garage. So if that's a garage that has living area over it, then it's got a little different valuation process.
Yeah, but what you're saying is that each of these categories get valued at a different amount, correct?
Yes.
And they're not lumped together and made one big square footage or anything. Yeah, the idea of the levy thing, of course, that's very important. But since the first opportunity for us, and it's a very neglected area, But the first opportunity for us to get control of these property taxes is in the assessment thing, and it's so very difficult to figure out whether or not you're being fairly assessed compared to your neighbors or not. I mean, you've got to expect a lot of challenges. And by the way, I've challenged once, and I only went the first step. That's the last time I'll do that. Apparently, you people apparently like people to come up and then you just blow them off. I'll never stop at the first step again. And I suggest anybody else out there making a challenge to go to the next step where the state's involved, because the kind of treatment I got was not really up there. Which brings me to another question: what's the best way? I understand one of the best ways to argue that your assessment is incorrect is to get sales data for your area where the sales of houses are less than the assessed value for that house. And what's the best way to get that information?
Right now, that information is best gathered in our office and during the hours from 8 to 4:30. However, I hope in the next 10 days, I've been crossing my fingers, to have a website up where you'll be able to view the market value of your property, including your land lot, separate from your building, and you can add those two together. The reason we separate them is because some folks have farm buildings. They're valued in a different category, and farmland is different. But at any rate, the website will show you that market value. And if you know a geographical area, such as two streets over, and you know the name of the street, and even you can look up that information and check the property. And also on the screen, it'll show you the recent sales that have occurred on the parcel. So you talk about finding it difficult to determine where you are or where your value is. Well,
compared to my neighbors, I'm talking about, because for all I know, maybe my assessed value went up 80% and theirs went up 10. You know, what I get in the paper is this breakdown you just talked about, where it's the land and the property.
Yeah.
There's no comparison, for example, which is one of the very first, I mean, to what it was before. There's any kind of a historical comparison, which is mandatory if you're going to try to figure out what the change is and whether it makes sense or not.
The notice that you receive, however, from your township assessor in the summer shows the before and after. It doesn't come with a list of similar properties.
Right.
Now, I do hope in the near future, by September, I'll be adding my office will be adding a GIS analyst. It's going to help us tie a lot of these attributes and maybe be able to produce some reports that will help people figure out where they are and help us determine the areas that are in most need of attention. That's the nice thing about coming to office when I did. The GIS is just coming on the line. That's a tool that we can use to further refine our assessment process. But always remember, market value. You can just check the total market value of your property, and then if you need further refinement, we can explain your property record card to you at our office or at your township assessor's office to make sure those calculations are correct. But always, you know, ask, is my market value right? We forever have people come to the counter, these taxes are just too high. These taxes went up $500, and we have to say, sir or ma'am, we handle the value of the property. The question is this market value okay? And I had one lady a while back call me and said, my husband told me to call in here and said that our assessment just went up and we need to do something about it. I pulled up her information. She was currently assessed at $93,000. I looked at the sales information. They paid $133,000 just 2 years before. So there are a lot of folks that relate the high taxes but not the market value to what we do. And so that's one of my goals, is to get that out there via the media and via a website that can empower people to better understand where they stand with their others. And I want to get a list by township so you can scroll down it and just see the parcels and their assessments and then click and go look at least the basic information, the total assessment. I won't have attributes to the property out there, but you will have the market value out there.
Let me ask one last question, and that is, one of the you said you counted 15 to 18 attributes,
mm-hmm.
per property. It would seem logical, just off the top of my head, that because I have termite damage in this home, and I knew that when I bought it, but that would be one of the attributes. Is that one of the attributes?
Well, that could come into play if it's evident to the assessor in that CDU rating, the condition, desirability, and utility. However, that's probably, if they've been treated and they're gone, that's not something we're necessarily going to be able to see on the inside.
Well, I know, but I mean, if you have, you know, documented, evidence that there is termite damage, and you do have to tell that to the buyer, next buyer anyway, wouldn't that be enough to get one of those attributes on there?
Well, that's something that you might want to share with your township assessor in that January 1 to April 15th time frame, so that they're aware of it. If they don't take any heed to that, then you can appeal their work in the summer at the Board of Review. And I'm sorry you didn't feel like you got adequate response from there, but we do try to monitor the market values, and hopefully when you come in again, you'll get the response you want, or at least an explanation of why they did what they did.
And I really, I have a lot of other callers here holding, so I'd like to move on. Thank you very much. Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Kurt Diedrich. He is the Chief County Assessment Officer for Champaign County. We're talking this morning about property tax and how the assessment process works, and we're doing our best. He is doing his best to answer the questions, and we'll get in as many as we can here this morning. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Next, Philo, line number two, right here. Hello.
Hi, Kurt. Thanks for coming on the radio and taking the questions.
Sure.
I had two questions. I live out in rural Champaign County, Crittenden Township, and we bought a house about 3 years ago, and our property taxes have gone up about 80% in the last 3 years. One question I had, so what is the typical increase in property taxes in this area? Is 80% typical, or is this high?
That seems like a pretty high increase. Was the person living in the property before you perhaps a senior?
No. Now the house is new construction, and it was never completed. It was just made livable when we moved in. So.
So an increase in 80%, it could be that it had a partial assessment on it, and that's why it eventually was placed on 100%.
Okay.
So that could be the reason why it took such a dramatic jump. If it was originally, you know, started 3 years ago and a partial put on, and then the increase you're relating to might be that it went from a partial to a full. But and the question about seniors is, a lot of times folks will purchase a property. This is off your subject, but they'll purchase a property, and a senior has been living there and had the property assessment freeze because of their income. They received dramatic reductions in assessments if they got into the program, for instance, in 1994. And so the realtor or the person selling the home may say, well, here's a copy of our tax bill, or you may go to the treasurer's site, here's a copy of the bill that was along with that property. Well, if you're not a senior and you don't get a $30,000 exemption, boom, your bill is going to increase dramatically the first year that it's under your control, which is the first year of January 1st of each year.
Okay. The senior issue doesn't really come into play in my situation.
Okay.
I can keep that in mind. Earlier you were saying that the assessors, they don't look inside at all, and perhaps this is one of our problems in that the house, if an assessor didn't go inside, he wouldn't see that. Oh, we got OSB for flooring, and you know, got wires coming out of the walls. The drywall's there, but there's no fixtures, stuff like that. And as a result, my taxes go up significantly because there's an assumption that the house is finished.
Yeah, it sounds like a matter where you might want to communicate with your township assessor and make sure they're aware that the condition, desirability, and utility, that CDU factor, or the house maybe isn't even 100% complete. Now, when I say we don't go inside, there are times when a house is being shelled up that we're able to get around the property on the inside. However, we can't determine everything at that point. We do maybe peer into a window from time to time, but we don't typically knock on the door, or rarely do we ever knock on the door and say, other than, ma'am, we're just wondering here, or sir, we need to know for our manual, how many baths you have? Do you have a fireplace? I mean, we see a flue there. Do you have a fireplace? And is any of your attic finished? Is any of your basement finished? Those are questions we ask at the door, but we don't go inside generally.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier about a window of opportunity for appealing. I think you said it was July 1st through September 10th.
Correct.
Now, how far back is that appealable? I mean, for example, if I've had an increase of 80% over the last 3 years, and I did go through an appeal process before, and I didn't get anywhere, but if I were to renew this process, do it again, am I only able to go back to the last assessment period? Let's say it's, I don't know, February, whenever it was. Or can I go back over the last 3 years back to an original value close to what it was 3 years ago?
The appeal that you make in the summer is for the value for the next year's bill. So that's only for the 1 year. we can go back to the bill you have in hand if there's an error in facts on your property record card, and we can adjust your tax bill up until the last judgment date, which is usually about the third week in October. Beyond that, we can't really do much of anything.
Okay, for clarity, my property taxes have come up 80%. The next assessment period bumps it up. Let's say it comes out to another 15-20% increase. Am I only able to appeal that 15-20%?
Well, you're quite able to go to all the levy hearings of the bodies that are on your tax bill. Maybe there's been a school referendum that's passed. I'm not certain why that increase would be so great. Keep in mind, when you talk to those of us in the assessment community, we ask you, what is your market value? Are you fairly valued? That's where we come in. We don't control how much monies the taxing bodies are asking for.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's continue. And our next will be on our line number 3, someone here in Urbana.
Hello.
Hello, yes.
I recently initiated an appeal process, and in my discussion with the officer there, she was very forthcoming in saying that the whole assessment process is tragically flawed, but people are doing the best that they can. That really doesn't affect the taxpayer that people are doing the best they can when the system is inherently flawed. The basic question that you've repeatedly said that is asked is, you know, about the fair market value of the house. And as you a moment ago pointed out, many of the homes, if not the vast majority of homes, are taxed way under the market value. You gave an example a moment ago. And if I personally went and looked at what houses are being sold for in my area and what the taxes are, and they're grossly under taxed, okay? So the means of assessment is not keeping up, and one of the ways that I was told that it is kept up is when a house is resold. Well, that penalizes the people who are long-term residents in a particular property, and that seems to be quite inappropriate. That the second point that was discussed is that the low interest rates are driving up prices of homes because people feel that they can afford more. That, again, does not affect the person who is not selling their house, yet their taxes are rising precipitously. So the two points I'd like you to address is, one, the notion that fair market value has any semblance of reality, okay, and secondly, why residents who choose to hold their homes and are not, you know, gaining from the low interest mortgage rates are being penalized. Thank you.
Okay. Well, as far as the people holding the homes, the second part of your question, I believe in the state of California, when you purchase a property, the assessment is frozen at whatever price you purchase it at until you sell it again. However, in the state of Illinois, our constitution is such that the assessment official is to have those properties at market value. And I need to say that not all properties are valued under. I just use that one example of a lady. I've taken several calls from folks who have said, gee whiz, we just bought this last year, and they've got, the township assessor has this $15,000 more than we actually paid. So
well,
there
of course
are
you're not going to hear from the other people, are you?
Well, typically those that are under assessed, that's correct. They're not going to contact our office.
And those are the vast majority. And that is what the people that I spoke to readily said was the case.
Well, the sales that occur go into a 3-year study. So a 3-year study then is an average. And so if the assessor goes out there and aggressively elevates the properties in a jurisdiction, that is then included in the work for the following year. So we're not supposed to go out there and elevate everyone an extra 10% above market because we know that people are underassessed, and so we're trying to play catch up and even it all out. I mean, it's such that we look at sales that have occurred, and we try to bring these values in line, and it's kind of a large ship that's slow to turn, and we're
that's precisely the point. Those homes that are being sold and resold by people who are playing the real estate market are leading to an inflated fair market value according to the assessment procedure.
That's correct. And so I think your concern is maybe one that's a legislative concern. If you feel like there's a better way for the assessment individuals to follow the guidelines of the state legislature, then maybe we need to have new guidelines. But currently, this is the system we're working with, and it's been in place for quite some time.
Let me give you a more specific example. A home two doors down from mine is assessed at two-thirds the value of mine, and yet that home is clearly has a value far in excess of mine. How do you account for that?
Well, perhaps there's something in the condition of the property
that
you're not aware of.
There's nothing in the condition of the property. This is commonplace, and I believe that you're aware of that. There are new homes that have been built, and I brought the documentation of that cost, $2 million to build, that are being assessed at a fair market value of $800,000. And they say, yes, we know of these discrepancies, but, we're trying our best. Well, trying your best isn't quite the way that the taxpayer should be held accountable. There is no one, according to the current laws, who advocates for the taxpayer, because all the other people in public office are the ones that benefit from higher.
Then I believe, if your general observation is assessment community is not able to get the job done, then maybe you need to speak with your legislature. That's all I can tell you.
Well, let me give you the one specific question. Why is the vast majority of homes underassessed then?
Well, we're dealing with
limited. You know that they are.
Well, maybe you'd give the guest a chance to respond to your question.
Well, we're dealing with a software that gathers a fairly minimal number of attributes. We're dealing in many cases with part-time assessors. Our two assessors in the cities and those in the collar townships surrounding have a lot of sales that drive their valuation. It sounds like maybe you're within the cities, and that doesn't mean there aren't discrepancies within the cities as well, but it's an ongoing task to try and get these values where they should be. And, that comment about we do our best is just that.
Yeah. I think this is about as far as we can go at this point. And we do only have 10 minutes left. I have another caller here, and I want to give them a chance as well. Our guest, by the way, in this part of Focus 580, Kurt Diedrich, he's Chief County Assessment Officer for Champaign County. We're talking about property taxes and just what is the assessment mechanism, and then what possibilities people have to raise questions if they think that there are mistakes. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I have somebody here on a cell phone. Line number one, hello.
Hi, thanks for coming on and answering questions. First, I want to say I'm a little confused by the prior caller, and I have to say I disagree with him. If he seems simultaneously concerned about suffering as a long-term resident from overvaluation while simultaneously declaring that the vast majority of properties are undertaxed because the fair market value in the assessor's office is much lower than where homes actually sell. I think he's right about that, that most of us look at our tax bill and we see a value that is lower than what we paid or what we expect to get when we sell. But in fact, I think long-term residents benefit from that, that is from people who are selling homes and increasing market value, and in fact, lower interest rates, increasing home values, etc. Long-term residents benefit by the increased equity in their house. And you can't have one without the other. You either have increasing prices or you have stagnating equity. And certainly, if there's problems with the process of assessing, that is, assessments that are tied to fair market value, that would be a legislative issue. But one of the issues that he brought up was my original question, which is that there does seem to be this, people record their home sales at the recorder's office, which appears to be the same as the assessor's office, and I'm curious as to why the assessor doesn't simply change the assessed value when a home is sold and the value is recorded. That information is there, but that's not done. Is there a legislative reason for that, or is that just the rules that you work by? Why is there that continuing tension between actual sales and assessed fair market value?
Well, the scenario that you gave out is something that we try to avoid at all costs, which is sales chasing. You know, we're to have you mass valued, not individually valued. I mean, we individually value when we work in an area, but we're not to chase a particular sales and then reassign the value just based on the sales. We're to have reasons why we think one-story homes in a given area need to be trending this way. So we don't chase that value. We do know what those values are because by law we need to know that, and those numbers are given all the way up to Springfield to calculate and judge the job the township assessor is doing at hitting that one-third.
Well, that's reassuring to me, and I think it ought to be reassuring to the prior caller because it does introduce, it seems to me, an attempt at a mechanism for equity, I mean for equality in assessing in an area and for evening out the disparities between short-term and long-term residents. And one final question, and I'll hang up and just listen. I wonder if you could give a brief explanation of equalization factors.
Yeah, thanks for your questions. And you're talking probably about what we know as the border review multipliers that come in February. And that's the part where the township assessor's work is thrown into a three-year study to judge how close to one-third they're hitting it. And that kind of an increase is given across the board to every parcel in a jurisdiction on a township basis. So it equalizes the county and brings the county up to a more uniform level. However, the problem with doing it on a township by township is that it applies the same factor to every house. So the house that valued at $200,000, say, gets a 5%, and the house valued at $30,000 gets a 5%. And it's not necessarily the most equitable way to do it. We encourage our assessors to be active, to make changes on their own and distribute increases that we see in the market based upon sales to the individual properties of similar construction. So that's what we try to do. So point is, it's a good thing to have your township assessor active and for you to get a notice in the summer. For one, it brings to your attention, this is your market value. My website, when it's up, will show you the market value. That equalization that comes in February is the state of Illinois' attempt to make sure if an assessor doesn't do their job, there's a mechanism to bring those values up. It's not necessarily a fair one, but that's what happens in February.
We're down to the point here. We have a couple minutes left. One thing I want to make sure that we mention and have you talk about, and I'm not sure how much detail you can give, but I want to make sure that people know that there are a couple of exemptions that senior citizens are eligible for.
Yes.
And that they are ways to reduce their assessment.
Their taxing value, their taxable value.
So ultimately, it would mean their tax bill would go down.
Yes.
And there's one that I guess anybody over 65 qualifies for, and then there's also one that depends on their income level.
Income level, right? Yeah. It's $45,000 per household. So if it's, you know, husband and wife, it's not just a straight off your federal tax return. In fact, some seniors are at an income threshold. They don't even file a tax return, but it would be your Social Security income and any other investment income you may have. And we have a form that we send out to anyone who qualifies in the senior program. Automatically, they get the freeze form each year. So they can review that and see if their income puts them in that bracket. And what that does is it locks in their assessment the first year they qualify at that level. And then as long as their income stays there, there's always a deduction on their tax bill before the bill is calculated.
Yeah. And they're also, just again real quick, the general homestead exemption. Anybody can qualify for this?
Any single-family dwelling that's owner-occupied.
Okay. And that's something that, again, is you're not going to get that automatically. That's something you've got to apply
for. Something you need to apply for, and that's why I think that if I can – not everybody is internet savvy, but I hope that that can help us make sure that the individual has all the exemptions coming to them. They can contact us if they feel like they don't.
Okay. And so if people have questions, they can come to the office, they can call, they can check.
Yeah, the number is 384-3760, and our hours are 8 to 4:30. The Board of Review hears complaints from July 1st to September 10th. Their normal hours are 9 to 3, Monday through Friday during that period. Their number is 384-3758, and they will accept appointments outside of that time frame if the need's there.
And though you do need to have an appointment, you can't just walk in. And
you can just walk
you
in.
You can just walk in.
Yeah, and you say there you'd like to file an assessment complaint, and my staff will get you a copy of your card or the card itself and initiate the process. It doesn't take all that long.
All right. Well, I would thank you very much for being here.
Sure, glad to do it.
Our guest, Kurt Diedrich, he's the Chief County Assessment Officer for Champaign County.